From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of January 2023. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Have you signed up for next week's Illinois Farm Economics Series, the IFA Series? We'll be on the road, the Farm Dog team in Mount Vernon, East Peoria, and DeKalb the 9th, the 10th, and the 11th next week. You can sign up on our website at willag.org. Don't wait, do it right now. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk to Wayne Nelson of AgMarket.net about today's commodity trade, this first trading day of the brand new year. We'll take a look back at the 2023 growing season, really the climate in the state of Illinois, with Trent Ford, the state climatologist, and we'll hear from Sue Martin about her view of the marketplace going through the January USDA reports, which will set the tone for the first 3 months of this calendar year in the marketplace, and we'll do all of that right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today settled at $4.63¾, down 7.5 cents. The May at $4.77, 7 lower. And December down 5¼ for this trading day of the year. The first one at $4.98¼. January beans, 19.5 cents lower, $12.74. The March at $12.73½, down 24.5. And new November at $12.22, down 23¾ cents. Wheat futures were down about 20 cents for the day. Wayne Nelson from AgMarket.net is here now to discuss the first trading day of the year. Not a good sign, I suppose, Wayne. Pretty rough. Tell me what happened.
Well, basically, we walked in and, the weather forecast, and we saw some showers in South America, and it looks like we're going to continue to get a little bit better rain here. And that was what we were hoping not to see as in here in the U.S. Of course, they were hoping for it, but it just basically set the tone a little bit negative. Along with that, the dollar reversed and recovered. It was up like 0.7% today. That made our grain higher, their grain cheaper, and their grain more abundant. So just along the way, the computers and all AI stuff started in selling this morning when we opened up, and continued to pile on as the day went on, because the charts told them, because when it started moving down, then they started tripping sell signals. So computer-driven markets today for sure, Todd.
Were we in light trade today then too, or was it heavier?
Oh, I mean, we did get up. The March corn did trade 160,000 contracts today. The March beans got up to 111,000. So it wasn't real light, but the big move started in light. The volume was light early, and then when the computer charts kicked in, well, then that brought in more computer-based selling. So, it built on itself. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, sort of, as you'd say. But, as we looked at it, StoneX slashed their Brazil bean crop down to 152.8 from 161.9, and the corn they dropped down to 124.6 from 126 even. So, they're still talking about that there's been enough damage done that they're looking at slashing their crop down there. But long ways to go, and it does look like some more rain coming up the rest of the week.
Yeah, it'll be fun for you and I and Kurt Kimmel to talk with Dr. Cordonnier on Thursday during Commodity Week to see what he has to say. I saw he cut his soybean production for Brazil as well. And he's got some ideas about what this means for Safrinha corn crop. I think we'll have to ask him about that. What's the rest of this week look like for you?
Well, I think, we started off here. I think we're going to probably have a little margin call selling develop tomorrow. But I think, as it goes on, unless we continue to see the weather forecast verify and really come true, I would think we might see a little short covering by the end of the week, So we're not totally disheartened here, but, we're surely not enthused for a great big rally right away. I think we have to see a change in weather pattern. And, we've still got a lot of craziness going on over in Ukraine and how the shipments are moving out of there, and that Iranian warship going into the Red Sea still keeps us a little bit on edge as to what's really going to be happening and how much grain comes out of that area.
Thanks for keeping an eye on it. We'll talk with you again on Thursday, then next week as well.
All righty. Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He is with AgMarket.net. Each and every business day here on the radio station, if you listen to the home station, WILL AM 580, you can hear Sue Martin. You can also find her online at willag.org. Just look for that update in the middle of the day, and you'll be able to listen to her on most days. She now joins us with a closing market report from Ag and Investment Services out of the office there in Clarion, Iowa. Sue, thank you very much for all the work you've done for us over the decades and for joining us this afternoon. I'm going to ask you to do something specific for me because I haven't looked these up. Do we have an idea on the calendar year 2023 what the changes in the commodities look like from the beginning to the end of the year?
Well, we do. Basically, over the last 12 months, I think that losses have been about 24% for the nearby Chicago wheat and also for the corn futures, nearby contracts. And then soybeans are down about 7%. And of course, you know, funds are starting to move towards that goal of turning short. The live cattle and feeder cattle are both up for the year as we ended the year. And that was just under 1% higher. The hog market, however, ended the year down 22% from the year of 2022. And if you wanted to get real exotic, well, there's other markets that really had a good year in 23. That'd be cocoa and orange juice. Both of those were up nearly 70%, just a shade less for the year.
Now, you mentioned that the funds were in the midst of getting to the goal of being short of what first, and then the rebalancing that usually takes place by banks and other places in the month of December. We didn't hear a lot about at that point. Did that take place, and what does it tell you, or all of this tell you about the marketplace going into 2023?
Well, the rebalancing should, the thought is that it'll start to occur around the end of this week and possibly around the 9th of January. And so, you know, some of that shifting of positions, it could cause some selling of soybeans. It could cause some buying of wheat, although wheat seasonally tends to rally through December and peak out in the first week of January. So it kind of feels like it's doing what it ought to be doing today with the market down. But I think that when we look at the funds, you know, they are right now, I think, leaned a little bit on the long side here for the larger speculative traders. And they ended the week last week that way. And, of course, they're a little bit short feeder cattle and the hog market. But, you know, we have to keep one thing in mind. When you're looking at the hog market, everybody keeps thinking China's going to come in and buy pork. But there's a 12% tax on that. And so consequently, it's hard to believe that we'll see much pork going to China this year unless something happens to that tax, that they start to drop that away. The grain markets, I think, you know, the biggie is that everybody, you know, the farmer here in the U.S. is carrying the crop mostly, still has his bins full of grain. And then you have the Brazilian farmer who's been reluctant to sell not only old crop, but his new crop or towards the new crop. Why? Because of the same way the farmer was thinking last summer in our crop year. They're looking at the weather and thinking because of all that heat and then the dryness that they had, they just couldn't bring themselves to sell. But over the weekend, there was very good rains through a chunk of the center and northern portions of Brazil. And the forecast, the 1 to 5 and the 6 to 10, is calling for more rain, especially around Thursday to Saturday of this week. Then you go to the 16 and 30 day forecast, and then the rain starts to kind of get pulled out And so even though that's a little bit of a longer-term forecast, a lot can change. It's kind of inferring that we might start to see the heat and dryness come back. But right now, the market's focused on just how much rain has been falling. And of course, certainly those farmers are very happy to catch that rain. But we hear reports of early yields of the early planted beans. With the high heat, the yields just aren't very good at all.
I saw those come in, I think, from Dr. Cordonnier. He will be on our Commodity Week program, by the way, on Thursday of this week, showing something like 25 bushels to the acre in parts of Mato Grosso and the very earliest planted soybeans, some of those not even being harvested. And then in that 35, 40, 45 bushel range, and with the expectation that it will get better in Paraná and some other places to the south. And then you put Argentina into the mix, a new president there, and I'm wondering what the whole of that South American crop might look like. I was thinking it might be fairly balanced with Argentina making up for the losses it had last year and Brazil coming up a little bit short. But it seems the president there might make things interesting. I did see that he planned to raise taxes on soybean products again.
Yes, he does. And, you know, again, here was another farmer in Argentina that also had been holding his crop. He's starting to move some of that now. But I think that we have to keep one thing in mind. In Argentina, they tend to not really export the beans per se. They tend to crush it and then send the meal and the soy oil out the door. And so that's a little different. So they may not be the wherewithal to help compensate back towards Brazil. In fact, if anything, it would mean that probably Argentina won't be importing Brazilian beans this year because their crop will be looking better. So that could be the difference.
What's your expectations for 2024?
I would have to say in 24, I think we have to keep in mind that moisture is going to be so important. The drought looks like it's kind of relinquishing or easing in the from Texas north to the Canadian border. But then you look at Iowa, and Iowa is a very dry state. We have a chunk of the heart of Iowa, maybe center to the east, that is very, very dry. And Iowa, for the last 4 years, I think each year was 7 inches short of rainfall. And so our subsoil is very dire this year. And then you look at Missouri. Well, they're not quite as bad. They're dry, but not as bad. But then you get to Arkansas, down to Louisiana, Mississippi, and also wrap around Tennessee. And then you're looking at another very dry area. We need to see that Mississippi get some water and be reprieved. And maybe come spring, we'll see a chance for some wet weather. But there's also fear that our spring this year will be a very cold one or come back with some freezes. So planting could be real interesting this year. But then La Nina is expected to be back here as we get into late summer and on in through 25, which is expected to be a very, very dry year. So I looked at years of a four, and that ended a four, and I went back to 1914 on forward. Now, some will say, oh, there were no beans in the U.S. Well, yes, there were. And beans started to trade, I believe it was in October of 1936, I want to say. So, and the data's on the USDA site. But the what I noticed was looking at old crop and at new crop, I found that there was a tendency for, and I was just going to look this up. There is out of the last 11 years of a four, eight of those saw a higher high for those individual contracts than the previous year. The 4 years that did not were 1964, 1984, and 2014. Just because there seems to be a behavior of higher highs in many years ending in a four doesn't mean it's going to happen again this year. But so we're not guaranteeing that. But it does seem like a person should be focusing on where those highs normally would come and where the harvest lows tend to be. And I would have to say many times it was either a high in May or the highs would come in July to August.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. And again, thank you to WILL.
That, of course, is Sue Martin. She is with Ag and Investment Services out of Clarion, Iowa. You can hear her on our home station at AM 580 each and every business day of the year. Check out the broadcast schedule at willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon, online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. Don Day from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming is traveling today. However, state climatologists from the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, Trent Ford now joins us to take up the weather coming in the near future. But Trent, if you could, would you take a look back at 2023, since we're now on the second day of 2024, and give me a climatologist view of it, please?
Yeah. So last year, 2023 was very warm, but not in a way that people would maybe expect from a very hot year. And it was also pretty dry. So the temperature, we were about 1.7, 1.8 degrees above normal. Now, the official numbers for 2023 and for December will be released next week, but they'll be pretty close to what we have for the preliminary. So if that number sits as it is, 54 degrees on average statewide, that'll be our seventh warmest year on record. But when you look at the months, the January, February, and then October, November, December of last year were anywhere between 3 and 8 degrees above normal, whereas the summer was actually right at normal. Actually, both July and August were smack dab on their 30-year normal. So we were hot in the coolest times of the year and pretty mild during the summertime. And so that was kind of an interesting piece to it. What that meant is that many of the major metro areas of the state, including Chicago, Champaign, Peoria, the Metro East, they had a near record, a low number of nights below freezing. And so it was really a lack of those really very, very cold temperatures that really marked off 2023. We just didn't have that extreme cold. From a precipitation standpoint, statewide, we were about 3.5 inches below normal at 37 inches total. That would put us at like the 60th driest year on record, but it's a little bit lying with numbers. We have a long-term increasing trend in precipitation. So, for example, this last year in Champaign-Urbana was actually the driest year since 1988. We only had 33 inches of rain. But again, when we think about the growing season, it was very dry early. We got the rain we needed in July and August, and then it was dry late. So, again, a bit thinking back to this year, a bit different when we think about when the heat and the dryness came on.
The rainfall that did come, was it in larger events?
It was in pretty large events. Yeah, it really depends on where you were at. So parts of South Central Illinois and then the Chicagoland area picked up a lot of their rain in just a handful of events. Here in Central Illinois, it was a bit more consistent. But again, that month-to-month variability was really strong. I mean, we were wet early, then the tap shut off, April, May, and June, and then we just got enough rain July and August, and the fall was pretty dry. So, it's sort of when we think about, okay, for example, in Champaign, this is the driest year since 1988. From an agriculture standpoint, we didn't see anything like what we saw in 1988 as far as the impacts. And I think a lot of that is just the fact that when it was dry was actually fairly advantageous for ag early in the spring and then later in the fall, as opposed to the core of the summer.
Do you suppose this set of winter months, and you can include December, we already have those numbers in, January, February, March will be warmer than average like last year?
Yeah, it's a good question. So December came in much warmer than normal to wrap up the year. January, when we look at the outlooks, they actually, it's the first month in a little while that they haven't followed a pretty strong El Nino signal to them. So, you know, the kind of every month since, gosh, since September has been painted higher chances of above normal temperatures, a bit drier than normal. In fact, January is actually being painted a little bit higher chances of wetter than normal conditions with kind of near normal temperatures. So, you know, if again, that's an outlook for the whole month. So if that does hold true, though, that'll give us a looks like a January that maybe feels a bit more normal as far as winter's concerned. But then when you look at the 3 month outlook, that's January through March, it goes back to that El Nino flavor, warmer, drier than normal for much of Illinois and the Great Lakes region as a whole. And so, you know, January may be a reprieve from our mild winter, but the Climate Prediction Center and the models that they use and their experts still are leaning towards a more El Nino-esque winter, which again is more mild and drier for this part of the country.
Finally, anything interesting in the near-term forecast that we should be aware of?
So, definitely a big shot of winter weather potentially coming in early next week, sometime between the 8th and the 10th. A lot is not known yet. I mean, we do see the trough setting up in the system that will be coming through. It's likely that some places in the Midwest will get significant snowfall, potentially a lot of snowfall. But as we know with snow, the forecast can shift a lot over the course of 7 or 8 days. What we'll want to do is be keeping track of what our forecasts look like, looking at the local news as well as your National Weather Service station to see what how the forecast evolves. But right now, it looks like kind of middle of next week is when we'll see that system slide through. Like I said, depending on how things shake up, we could see a significant amount of snowfall across some parts of Illinois.
Does it come with wind?
It will come with wind. And as with all of these systems, it'll come with much colder air on the backside. So it's likely, and this is what the 2 week outlooks are showing. So thinking about maybe the 10th through the 17th here of January, higher chances of below normal temperatures, which again is really something that December went by completely without. All but 3 days were warmer than normal in December, at least in central Illinois. So that does look like that second week of the month here is probably our best shot at our first real winter weather across the state.
Oh, I can hardly wait. It's been a while since I've traveled in the month of January, but I'll be on the road the 9th, the 10th, the 11th with the Farm Doc team. I can remember, Trent, when we were traveling with the crop scientists for the Corn and Soybean Classics, moving through the state of Illinois in January in blizzard conditions, and then the cold temperatures coming in after the fact. We broke the window out of the back end of one of the Suburbans 1 year because it was so darn cold. That was a rough trip on the way home.
Yeah.
We'll do better this year. And even if it's rough, we finish up at the noon hour, so we're in no hurry to get to our next event. We travel on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Mount Vernon, East Peoria, and then DeKalb. Thank you, Trent. I appreciate it. And we'll hear from you again on Friday of this week.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, Todd.
That's Trent Ford. He's the Illinois State Climatologist with the Illinois State Water Survey and the Prairie Research Institute. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org. The theme music for our program is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer, my brother, Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.